Chapter 11, Section 5, The Bread of Life.
Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?"
Jesus was asking questions again. This time, the scriptures recorded his motives.
He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite."
It was an impossible dilemma.
Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?"
Like a small boy hinting to his father, you can't help wondering if Andrew was hoping that Jesus could do something.
Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. John 6:1-11.
The biblical account is stated so matter-of-factly that you almost miss what happened. Jesus had just fed a massive crowd with a boy's lunch. This is not a lesson in exponential multiplication. Jesus divided the bread and fish among his 12 disciples, and they apportioned it to 5,000 men. The women and children would have been an addition to this number. This was reproduction of an unheard-of magnitude, and Jesus wasn't being miserly. Everyone had as much as they wanted. In fact, they had enough leftovers for each disciple to take a basket home.
When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world."
The men who had benefited from this miracle were so impressed that they decided they would forcibly install Jesus as their king. But Jesus wasn't interested in starting an earthly kingdom, though there would be a time for that in the future. For now, Jesus was seeking to rule people's hearts. He knew what these men were thinking, and unfortunately, their motive was wrong.
Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill."
Well, there you have it. Jesus could see that the people only wanted him to be king so that they could get free food. They weren't interested in the fact that these miracles revealed that he was the promised Savior. In fact, it's doubtful that the people even listened to what he was saying. Jesus said,
"Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval."
The food they ate could only sustain life for a moment. Sooner or later, they would all die. Therefore, Jesus said, their all-consuming goal in life should be to pursue that which would give them eternal life.
Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent."
The people wanted to know what work they would have to do to earn everlasting life. Jesus said that they only needed to believe. They only needed to put their trust in him.
So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.
What was that? They were asking Jesus for a sign to prove that he was God? As if feeding the 5,000 with a boy's lunch wasn't enough? But then the twist comes. Jesus, Moses, fed our ancestors bread. The big hint was, if you really are the Son of God, then why don't you do the same? They were still thinking about their bellies. Graciously, Jesus directed them back to the overriding priority in life, their present relationship with God and where they would spend eternity.
Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
First, Jesus corrected their understanding of the source of the bread in the wilderness. It wasn't Moses, but God. Then Jesus went on to say that the most important thing was the bread that gives true life.
Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread.
The people missed Jesus' point completely. They thought that he would give them some sort of power food that would remove their appetites forever. So he said it plainly.
Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:12-14 and 25-35.
Jesus is the bread of life. Whoever trusts in him has eternal life.